السلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Are you ready? Okay. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We were discussing the wajibat of salat, and among the wajib things, now is the turn for, we talked about ruku, and now is the turn for sujood. Which is prostration. Actually, it is that's the definition and ta'rif of sajda, is basically putting the head the forehead on one of those things upon which the sajda is correct. That's the definition of sajda. So we put our forehead on one of those things upon which the sajda is correct. Now we'll come to the point, what are those list of things? But this is the definition. This is how sajda is defined. So you put the forehead on one of those things upon which doing sajda is considered correct by the Islamic fiqh and jurisprudence. Now obviously there are several other wajibs applying during the sajda, but this is what the definition is. Now there are several separate wajibs and separate wajibs are, for instance putting other six parts on the ground what are the other six parts, which is two palms, not the fingers is not wajib. Yeah, two palms, then two knees.
Even the thumb is not wajib.
Even the thumb is not mentioned to be wajib. The palms, the two knees, and the two toes of feet. So these are the six parts of sajda that we need to separate wajib to put these on the ground. Likewise, there's another separate wajib, which is dhikr of the sajda. Closing the fingers is another mustahab that we do during the salat, we keep our fingers closed all the time. I don't recall any time where, probably in the ruku only, alaykum salam, when the fingers, I did not read that it is mustahab to close the fingers during doing the ruku. I did not read that, but the rest of the times we put the hands like this over the thighs when in the qiyam. So in Allahu Akbar we also keep the fingers open, you know, closed. During the sajda we also keep it closed. During the judus, between the two sajdas we sit, we also keep the fingers closed over our thighs. And in the qunut also we keep the fingers closed. So in all those places it is mustahab to keep the fingers closed.
Even the thumb, we should keep them closed.
Yes. Even the thumb, no. I won't say for the thumb, but for the fingers, yes, it is confirmed. For the thumb, in qunut is different. In qunut, we have to keep the thumb open. In the ruku, I did not read to keep even the fingers closed. And during the ruku, I did not read that. That is mustahab during the ruku. In the sajda, again, what I read is keeping the fingers closed. I didn't remember reading about the thumb. I can double check it, inshallah, because these are very kind of minor things which may not be found in regular books of fiqh, and you have to go into the deeper books of fiqh to find these little details. We read it a long time ago, like maybe 1983. Long time I read, so it's I don't remember honestly, but I'll double check. But I did not recall reading that joining the thumb, joining the thumb, we joining the thumb during the sajda, or between the two sajdas, or during the ruku is mustahab. I did not recall reading that. I will double check it. Yes. For qunut is mustahab that you do like this. You open your hands in front of your face, facing towards the sama, the heaven, and thumbs are open, separated from the fingers. Fingers are joined, thumbs are separated, hands are open, facing towards the heaven, and it's in front of your face. This is mustahab. If you can read like this, this is also in front of your face, facing the, you know, some people do it like this. This is also in front of your face. So, but bottom line, in front of your face, and the fingers joined, and hands facing the heaven, and thumbs opened, and then you looked at the palms during the qunut. This is mustahab. Yeah, that's okay to put the fingers. Yeah, but you know, for some people they don't have fingers, or some people have hud of theft applying on them, so they don't have the fingers any longer for the right hand. So sajda, they can still do it with the palm. So wajib is to put the palm, not the fingers. You can put it. Obviously, it's natural to put it.
It's okay,
but that's not wajib.
But you have to have the thumb.
Yeah, it's not wajib. You can put all the fingers, it's up to you, but what is wajib is only the toe. And when we do the tahneet, rubbing the kafur on the seven parts of sajda for a dead person, qunut, tahneet. So we rub the kafur on the toes of the feet. That's the part of sajda which is used.
There's no istihbab in doing all the...
Oh, no. I did not read any istihbab about putting all the fingers. Some people cannot even put their fingers because they are smaller. It doesn't reach. So toe is wajib. That's it. And two palms, two knees, and two toes. This is a separate wajib. Now, another separate wajib is zikr. Zikr, phrase of remembrance of Allah. Any zikr is okay in the sajda. like we studied in the ruku, any zikr equal to 3 subhanallah in the miqdar. Three subhanallah, this is the miqdar and amount and length of three subhanallah. In this miqdar, you can say any zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody says la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, and that's even bigger than subhanallah, that's okay. Isn't it right? It's okay to say that. So any zikr which is equal to three subhanallah in the miqdar, that's enough. But if you want to choose, we choose subhanallah three times, or subhana rabbiyal a'la wa bihamdi, or it's not and, it's or. Subhana rabbiyal أعلى وبحمده. So we say سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده once, or سبحان الله three times, one of the two, or any other zikr which is equal to three سبحان الله in the miqdar. So this is a separate wajib of the sajda, but you have to eat the zikr. So if you did the sajda but you didn't do the zikr, you forgot, for example, your salat is not batil because you missed a wajibun ghair rukni. Zikr is wajib, but it's not the rukni wajib, it's not the pillar wajib. So if you unintentionally forgot in the sajda, your salat will not be batil. And so this is about the zikr. The riwayat tells us when this ayat of Quran was revealed, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, according to that narration, which I'm doing naql of madmoon riwayah, that اجعلوها في سجودكم. Put that in your sajda. So, since that time, since the nuzul of that ayat, it has been put سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده after that. When the ayat سبح اسم ربك الأعلى was revealed. So, this is a little bit about the dhikr. Now, the third separate wajib is استقرار البدن during the sajda. The body should be stationary. Don't move. Don't do any harakat any movement. Keep all the seven parts without moving. Your chest, your legs, your head, your hands should not be moving when you are saying any wajib zikr. If you want to say the zikr, you want to move it, stop saying the zikr, and then you can scratch, move your hand, scratch your head, or you can give something to your baby who is crying, give it something to this, and then put the hand back and then read the zikr. Okay, when you are moving it, don't say anything. If you move your hand during the wajib zikr intentionally, your salat is batil. Okay, intentionally moving the hand during the wajib amount of zikr will make the sajda batil, which means the salat will also be batil.
So suppose you move your hand and then put it back and then do the zikr again.
That's okay.
The zikr is batil. If the zikr is batil, then salat is batil.
Yes, and sajda and sajda will be batil. Sajda will batil, salat will also be batil.
Right. But basically, suppose you just went to the sajda and then you while saying subhanallah, said subhanallah three more times
after
putting back your hand.
Yeah, but
that's not wajib.
No. If you said Subhanallah and then you stop and then you move the hand, that's okay. Because you're moving the hand at the time when you're not saying any zikr.
But suppose you were in the middle of Subhanallah and you move your
hand. Unintentionally.
Like suppose it was intentionally, but then you do three more Subhanallah after that. So
yeah, no, but that will be a problem. Because during the wajib zikr, I mean, we do the wajib zikr first. So, during the wajib zikr, after that we do the mustahab zikr like Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad or any other du'as that we read or Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdihi and add it further, whatever other wajib zikr you are reading. So, but first we do the wajib, then we do the mustahab, I mean whatever mustahab zikr you want to do, we do it later. First we do the wajib zikr. So during the wajib zikr, intentionally moving your hand or your knee or your leg up, you are adjusting, or you just move your toes, feet farther away. Any kind of intentional movement will make the zikr batil, wajib zikr batil, and that will make the sajda batil, which will make the salat batil. So if we don't do that, we cannot do that. So if you want to do it, you stop saying it, and then you scratch your head, give something to your, throw something to your baby which is crying, whatever, you know, and then you put the hand back, and then start reading the wajib zikr. This is one thing about istiqrar al-badan and not moving during the sajda. Another thing is that some people do the sajda in such a fast way that their forehead strikes two times or three times. That's another common issue. So in that case, the shar says, the ruling says that you, first of all, we should not do it. We should only do it once. If you are really fast and unintentionally your head strikes two times, that's an because see, here's the ta'rif of sajda. Putting the forehead wal jabha. Jabha means forehead. Putting the forehead on one of those things on which the sajda is correct. So when you put your forehead two times, the ta'rif applies. These are rest of the wajib things, which are separate wajibs that you have to also put your palms and also put your knees and toes. It's a separate wajib, but the ta'rif and definition applies in putting the forehead. When you put the forehead, it's said you did the sajda. Okay? So now if you put the forehead two times, it will be counted two times. If you put the forehead three times, it will count three times. So we cannot put it two times intentionally or three times intentionally. Now if you are quick and you strike your head first and then your head is raised and then you have to go back again. Now before it goes back again, here the ruling says, are you able to control yourself not to allow the head to go back again or not? If you are able to control yourself, you have to control yourself. Now, because one sajda you already did, why you are supposed to control yourself? Because after doing one sajda, it's wajib to do the julus, sitting. So it's wajib to sit between the two sajdas. One sajda already happened.
But you didn't do zikr.
Yeah, that's unintentional negligence. That's unintentional negligence. Because you did so fast that your head raised up after striking once, it was unintentional negligence. Isn't it right? So that is accepted. Because you lost one wajib zikr, but that is a wajib ghair rukni, non-pillar, and it was unintentional. So it's not going to harm the salat. But now that the one sajda is done, because the ta'rif is now applying, ta'rif says, ta'rif doesn't talk about touching the rest of the things, six things. Ta'rif only talks about putting your forehead. So when your forehead strikes, the ta'rif applies, you did the sajda. Now that you did the sajda, it is wajib on you to sit between two sajdas. So you, if you can control yourself before your forehead goes back again, you must control yourself and go and sit and then to go for the second sajda. Now you lost one zikr of the first sajda, that loss was unintentional, it's not going to harm your salat. But if you are unable to control your head going so fast for the second and you do the second, then obviously basically it's unintentional, it's not in your control. But if it is in your control, it is wajib to control and not to go and do and sit. and then go back to the second sadhana.
So basically you would be pretty much missing some of these other ones also, but these are all also
unintentional.
So non-rupi, unintentional miss.
Correct.
Of any of these is
it's not going to harm the salat.
So if we can control and we have to sit back, what should we do if we are in Jamaat prayer?
Yeah, in Jamaat you